Hello, friends. Pull up a chair, grab your wine. You are listening to the Close Friends podcast, where we hit record on our in real life conversations as friends, trying to be adults, but also trying to have a fucking good time. This week, I'm your host, Sarah, and I'm joined as ever by Lucy.
Hi.
And Tara's sacked us off, so fuck her.
Also, Shirley's not here. She's still stuck in the post office.
This is exactly what I was about to say. We have lost Shirley for good. Shirley, our stuffed steak, is sadly absent and might never be returned. So,
what a shame.
Fuck you, Lucy, as
so
well.
Upset.
You don't love her, and it's just awful. It really is awful.
I don't love her. I'm going to say it here on the podcast. I don't love Shirley. If you're confused about who Shirley is, as well, please watch the Shirley highlight on our Instagram, Close Friends the Podcast. Thank you. And follow us as well. Thanks.
Do follow us, because we see you snakes out there who are stalking us and not following.
You're really bitter about that. Sarah sends me screenshots of how many followers we have versus how many story views we're getting. Sarah's really cut up about the people that don't follow.
I just like analytics. Okay, hold up. I've got our close friend of the week, though. This one is called Idols by Hayley Turner. Four. Thank you very much, Hayley. Five stars. Thank you so much for making this epic podcast so funny and eye-opening. Feel like I'm in the conversation with you. So, so good. How lovely. Thank you very much, Hayley. Nice. We love and appreciate you.
Thank you, Hayley.
Lucy, what is in store for this week's episode?
So we have a chaotic episode, which we've spent like 45 minutes trying to set up at this point. We have two comedians on the podcast today. I'd like to introduce to you Ali.
Hello, it's me. thanks so much for having me on this podcast.
Oh, that's okay, Ali.
You're a regular listener, aren't you, Ali?
Regular listener. I'm a close chum, or whatever you just said.
And Tom.
Hello.
So Ali and Tom are comedians and also influencers now, but they do have their own
that's
podcast
a strong word.
Called Look, I'm just trying to make Ali feel good about himself, okay? It's called All I Do Is Fail. And you guys talk about the failings of life, just things that are quite relatable to you. Welcome to the podcast. Guys, there's so much backstory that we need to cover, but essentially, Sarah loves Ali, and whenever we go out drinking, at some point, we will DM Ali, and including hotel number as well was sent at one point. So just going to leave that there.
I assume that was fake, to be honest.
No, it's real.
I just left it. Well, to be fair, I had my own place that night. I didn't need his place, but thank you for offering. But then I get these messages. So let's go back to some lists, right?
We're just going to let Lucy get away with this.
You're being dobbed in here, Sarah. So this is the thing, people like me more on Instagram, but they meet me in real life and realize, you know, it's nothing going on. So I'm sure if we were to meet in real life, then it would be a lot less. As Tom can attest to, he's met me loads of times. And look, Tom's not a high bar to jump over, to be fair, like in terms of social conversation. But even he's like, this guy is a wetter. He's a waste man. This guy's a waste man. I'm interested, how did you find me on Instagram, Sarah?
No, but I can't let this slide. I'm sorry. We need to go back a step from the Ali online obsession, which, by the way, is definitely not an obsession. It's a light interest, okay, at most.
You're gonna make me cry.
I am single though, Ali, just FYI. But
seem pretty keen.
Lucy and Tom met on a dating app many, many moons ago. And that's really where all of this comes from, and that's where all the chaotic energy comes from. So that brings us on nicely to today's topic. We are going to hone in on one particular aspect of failing, which is dating fails, following on from our online dating chat last week. So we wanted to really just throw a few completely random topics out there, get your perspective as, you know, semi-pro failures. We can throw in our perspective as
not even
legit
professional
podcasters.
Failures. That's how much we fail, Tom. We're still in the amateur leagues with some occasional paid
some
work.
League.
As a failure.
Division two. One day we can dream of a Premier League failure. A failure that would really disappoint our parents, not just semi-annoy them. That's what we're aiming for.
Such an insulting description, is it? Semi-professional. Anything. He's trying. Maybe one day. Anyway, sorry.
You're balancing a lot of different things, you know. I just want to highlight that. But
okay,
here,
thank you,
here we go. So, I guess first question is, what are your current situations dating wise?
Tom?
Well, I'm very much spoken for. I've got a girlfriend.
didn't ask you out, Tom, but
yeah. What were you asking then? You're like, what's your situation? What do you want me to be like? Yeah, I've got a girlfriend, and yeah, so
yeah. To be fair, you did lay on a bit thick. I'm very much focused.
Yeah. If anything, it was a slamming rejection.
Yeah, and I'm in a relationship with God, so yeah. That's where I am. But what, Tom, are you going to tell the listeners what? So I'm called Ali, and your girlfriend is called
also called Ali. Unfortunately,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah,
he's so obsessed with me, you know what
he's
I mean,
so obsessed.
Like, just ask me out, like, so weird.
I just chose to do a podcast with you instead,
a more intimate relationship.
Yeah, what about you, Ali? What's your situation?
Well, you know what, yeah, so I am famously single all the time. I had one longest relationship I've ever had was 3 months. But
Ali has notoriously said on our podcast that he's married to the game as opposed to a relationship.
What fucking game is that, mate?
The comedy game. He's married to the game.
Rap and hip hop, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Obviously. Comedy's just a side hustle for my burgeoning drill music career. So, but I've been on a couple of dates with this woman recently. And it's early stages, but she's nice. She's cool. So what are we now? Three dates we've had.
Oh, lovely.
But you said your longest, were you joking when you said your longest relationship's 3 months?
No.
Why do you think that is?
Why is that?
Therapy time?
Well, I mean, what can we say? Lots of suggestions, maybe too funny. So it's like medically hard to be my girlfriend because it's like you rupture your spleen. Sex too good. There's another one that a lot of people say. Mainly me, I say that. But mainly it's my huge insecurities about commitment. So that might be it. But we don't know. It's one of those three. It's at least one of those three. So I'll tell you what, though. But part of it is because I'm very single-minded about comedy. And so I just still prioritize that. Like, I'm saying I've been dating this person. We had one lunch and she came to 2 gigs. So even that is like coming to the gigs.
Oh, that's a big step.
It's quite, yeah.
I don't know. It depends the way you look at gigs. If it's work, then is it that good? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Well, no, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not quality time. Luckily, if I'm on early, yeah, we can go drink.
It's his perfect date. He just has a microphone and she can't say anything. It's ideal.
It's the only way it can get hard.
Yeah.
I think that shows that she's interested, Ali, genuinely, because it's like, I love like worky stuff. If you can like get involved in the worky stuff, see them in their workplace, like, I think that's a good sign.
Thank you. What do you guys think of this? She last August came out of an 8-year relationship.
Pretty wild.
Last August.
What, in terms of what? How does that make you feel? Do you feel a bit like, oh, is that?
Well, when I've told people that, I've got some vibes that, you know, it's like, oh, don't mess her around, or like, she might be very new to dating. I don't really think it's a problem. I think it's absolutely fine. But
she's had a year almost, so.
You know what I mean? That's what I feel like.
I don't think it's a problem.
But other people are sort of saying to me, you know, watch out and stuff, but.
Ali, don't mess her around whether she's come out an 8-year relationship or not, mate.
This is what I think as well. What are you saying about me? Yeah, exactly. Rightly so, sir. They were like, we know you.
You look like trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I've known people who have broken up from long-term relationships and met someone else within like a month and also stayed with them for a long period of time. So I think it's fine.
Like Tara was in that situation.
Like Tara.
She had 6 months single. But yeah, Tara, whose Zoom account we're using right now because we can't afford one each, she totally did that. It was fine. Like, if you're getting on well, you're getting on well. I wouldn't see it as a problem at all. But one thing I do want to ask about bringing girls to gigs is, like, have you ever had a really like shitty or tough audience and you've just brought a girl to this gig and you're like totally bombing and you're like, this is really embarrassing?
The things I've always smashed it, isn't that right, Tom? So I don't know. I don't honestly know that. Tom, why are you shaking your head? But I don't often do that, to be fair. I don't often, but now I've just got in the mood. Like, if anyone wants to hang out with me, I do just say like, oh, we can either have, basically my things, we'll either have a lunch on a weekend, or you come to a gig, we'll hang out afterwards, basically. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that's a bit seedy, in it, to come to a gig.
I don't think so. No.
I don't think it's seedy at all. I think it's welcoming into the workplace. It's like, come and see me at work. I think that's attractive.
But like, if you were doing your fitness videos and someone was like, I'm just going to come and stand and watch and then wait till you're finished.
That's different. Actually, I don't know, but that's happened. I have had that and I quite liked it. And I think he did too. Yeah.
What did he do? He just stood there eating like, was he eating like a huge burger going like, oh, don't mind me.
No,
like,
no, this is my last boyfriend. Things move very quickly though, to be fair. I wouldn't normally be that forthcoming. But no, but basically, yeah, I like things move really fast. And he was there, and I'd be like filming my stuff in the flat, and he'd be like watching, and he'd be like cheering me on in the background. It was quite sweet, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That's
awesome.
Supportive.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, but I don't think I've ever bombed as Bob in front of someone I like. I've not done brilliantly. I've done fine, but I've never like properly had a proper death. Because also, Tom will notice, you strategically don't invite people to ones where you're like,
yeah,
this could be bad, you know.
You're only going to invite people to if you know it's a nice gig or you've done it before or like, you know, because like basically as a comic, if you do bomb, you basically are the least attractive human being in the world. Like, everyone in that room is like, oh, God, so God, true. I can't even look at him in the eyes. So if you bring a date and you eat shit, it's a tough meal afterwards. It's, you know, it's a difficult drink.
Tougher than the shit you just eat in my life. Yeah. But I had a comic say that to me. She said, there is nothing that's a bigger turn off than watching a comic die on their ass. And I was like, damn, you're a comic as well, you know.
Shit.
But Tom's not wrong. You don't want to do that. But then the alternative is you smash it and then they're like, oh my God, that was so cool. And you're like, yeah, I'm pretty, or do this all the time, whatever, get over it, you know. Like,
see, I don't ever think comedy's cool. Like, I don't think anyone's ever seen it. Like, seen a comic and been like, wow, they're hot. I think you're just like, oh, he's a bit of a
Tom,
laugh.
What are you talking about? People say that about you all the time. They always say that. And then you start talking and they're like, oh, he's a bit dim.
I think it's so hot. I love that.
We've got me and Ali have very different takes on comedy. So for me, it's just like we're clowns at the end of the day, right? We really are clowns. Like, let's not beat around the bush. We jazz it up and we don't wear a red nose, but essentially we're clowns.
Tom, I remember when we first met and I asked you, how comes you're doing comedy? And you said, I remember this to the day, you said, for the chicks, bro.
Yes. Are you joking?
He's obviously joking. Oh. There is a 0% chance I said that.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely not. The last thing I would say, if you were looking to pick up girls, would be become a comedian, because if there was like a pyramid, like we're like just above maybe like juggler and then like comedian and then like I'd say like opera singer or something like that, you know, like in a sort of scale. It's very low down the totem pole.
Do you guys ever get people after gigs though that are like want to try and chat to you? Because from my perspective, I really feel like people would do that. I feel like they would.
They do.
Okay. Yeah,
his experience again very different to mine. But okay.
They chat to Tom and they're like, "Oh, good, well done for doing that, man. Really brave." And then they say, "But this is also a sexist thing as well, because there's an old adage in comedy that after gigs, after they performed, men get numbers and women get advice,
big time.
So
classic.
You see it a lot. Yeah, you see sort of a woman, a male comedian will go on and smash it, and then." There'll be like a few women who might want to go, oh, you're really funny, huh? You're also quite cute and stuff, blah blah blah, you know, the old get you guys. I don't need to tell you the techniques you guys haven't done anyway, but but then a female comedian will go on and smash it, and then a bloke will go up to her and go like, you know what, you weren't too bad actually, you know what, I tell you what though, I thought you were going to do this with it. I think that might be, and that's what they do. And
then, not surprised at all. I'm not surprised at all. I'm guessing that's only anecdotal, right?
People who have never, ever, ever done comedy or don't know anything about comedy, they'll do it. I mean, they will do it to us as well, but more so female comics. It's incredibly frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
And for them, it must be a nightmare.
But there's a problem with females in comedy, like in terms of male-dominated
industry.
There's a problem
with females in comedy. Jesus Christ. Look, this took a left turn, didn't it?
Apparently, men don't like funny women. This is why I've been single for so long.
Yeah.
Are you actually single, Lucy? I thought you had a boy... I thought Tom said you had a boyfriend.
No, I did. I did have a boyfriend, Tom. I did, but we broke up.
Oh, shit. Sorry about that.
Isn't it so funny when you say you've broken up with someone that people are like, oh, no, Why? Why is that?
Because, like, to be fair, 50% of the time, people are very sad.
I'd say more than 50. I'd say more than 50%.
But a lot of the time, there are a lot of... It is generally a sad thing. Like, there are... And like, if someone was like... My immediate reaction, if someone was like, oh, I've just been through a breakup, I'm not going to be like, fucking yes, mate. Like, absolutely quality. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I am. That's what I say. 100%.
How much of the sadness, though, is that we see singleness as bad and being alone bad? So when you're like, oh, I've just had a breakup, it's like, oh, no, you're now single again. Rather than like, oh, okay, that chapter ended with that person. Cool, you're now in like a new chapter. And they're both great. Both can be enjoyed.
Okay, gun to your head. Someone you don't know that well, right? It's just like you just met them actually that day and they've been like, oh, I've just been through a breakup. Your first reaction is not be like, high five. Oh my God, sick, mate. Like,
judge the room. They might be like, yes, just sacked him off. I'd be like, yes. Fucking great. But if they seem sad, then you have to, you know, you just match that energy, yes. Don't you?
Okay, it's a medium, yes. It's a medium energy and they've just gone, yeah, I've just been through a breakup. Where are you going?
Then okay, then I'd say sorry, because I'd be like, I'd be testing the water, because yeah. It's better to assume someone's sad and act as if they're sad, yeah, than it is to assume they're happy and then they're like, it was so hard.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's what I would, yeah, that was my point.
But you're lucky that Tom's reaction was that and not him just again going, but just to let you know, I am spoken for. I'm doing all right. So whatever you got going on, that's
spoken
cool.
Spoken for. I have a fine woman on my arm.
I'm betrothed. So just leave this as is.
A fine specimen. Question, bringing it back somewhat to some sort of structure here. Question, do you use dating experiences in your material? Tom, you go first.
Yeah, I have done. Yeah. Like, obviously, you'd never use, like, names or, like, with stand-up, if you are using your own life, it's always embellished and, like, slightly changed or exaggerated or, like, things are shifted and moved. Or, like, it'll be, like, maybe, like, multiple, you know, throughout your life, you may apply things, something that happened years ago to a story that happened, like, a few weeks ago, just to make it funnier and better kind of thing. So, yeah, you would, but... It's never normally like the exactly what happened. It's always a bit altered or changed or embellished or, you know.
Yeah, no, I do use Tom's dating past in my stand-up as well. It's just such a rich vein, yeah, of comedy.
Whereas Ali's is so limited. So it's
yeah,
very...
3 months worth.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like both ways. He's given me nothing.
I do. I have a few. I do. I use some. I have a few sort of, especially for the clubby rowdy gigs, like I have a few sort of sex stories that can go down well.
I don't do any sex. I don't do any sex stuff.
Don't do any sex. Sex stuff.
I don't do any sex stuff. I promise.
I'm actually betrothed. So can we all just step back, please? Yeah. What kind of dirty podcast is this? What have I walked into?
Ali, come on. We need a sneak peek.
No, I can't. You guys, that's my material. That's my trade. I can't be saying that on here. I'm sorry. But come to my gigs and you can see them.
I want some sort of sneak, like what, where is the boundary for what you say on stage? Because there's probably part of you that's like, I don't want to say things that make me look really shit. But also like, if you've got a girl there as well, listening.
Yeah.
You're not a bit like, I'm going to tone this one down.
I would say in general, like when you are doing stand up, like you're just because of the way, you know, comedy works is you're never going out there and slagging someone else off. It's always you're the one who fucked up. So like, if you are saying a story, it will never be like, oh, they were bad at whatever. It'd always be like, oh, I fucked it, you know, like in general.
Nah, I do a lot more. This person was awful.
Yeah.
It wasn't someone I dated, but it was just some person at the post office or whatever. But you're right. But you guys must know if you date and it's quite an appealing, quite an attractive trait. Someone can laugh at themselves. If someone goes up and makes a whole room laugh and they're laughing along and at their expense, like that's quite a secure thing to do. That's quite like cool, I think so. So I don't think there's any problem with that. But I wouldn't have any problem saying anything really on stage. As long as I find it funny and I don't think it's offensive, then it's all fair game.
If they find it offensive, fuck them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then you can't shame it anymore. Come to my YouTube channel for the truth.
Comedy 101 is, right? You want to talk about your mother-in-law, first of all, because that's where it really gets going. That's where the good stuff is.
Classic.
But yeah. So Tom, I just want to get this straight, right? I just want real talk. You don't think it's attractive to watch someone go up on stage and kill it at a gig, everyone laughing, applauding them? You think it's not attractive?
I've never, ever felt like that with comedy. I've always felt it as like...
I don't know. I just found it was so far away from being in a band or, you know, a famous actor or something, like being a comedian. Like, it's so, like, I don't know. We're just like the weird little, you know, cousin in the corner with the lights off. Like, that's what I feel.
This is what I think is a move for the introverted fuckboys. Do you guys know about the introverted fuckboys?
Tell
the
ones
us. Who are like, oh, I'm so sensitive and like, oh, I'm such a, like a, you know, oh, I'm such a damaged soul. But then just play the same mind games. They do the same old shit. You get a lot of them on the British comedy circuit.
Have you not seen, that was it, Soft Boy, the Instagram account?
Beat Me Up Soft Boy.
Beat Me Up Soft Boy. Yeah.
That's so true. They are the epitome. But one trend that I'm noticing now is that fuckboys will use that reference on their Hinge profile, and they'll put like a comment about like, haha, love this page. And I'm like, I feel like you're saying that, so I think you're not like that, but I think you are like that.
Bit of reverse psychology.
Yeah, exactly.
The fuck?
They're smart. They're like an algorithm. They learn. Fuckboys are like algorithmic. They learn and they adapt and they move again.
Basic intelligence, yeah. It's like a very slow learning process. That's fucking weird. I've never seen that on Hinge.
Well, what are dating apps like? Because I ain't on any of them, but is Hinge good?
Are you not?
This guy.
I haven't been on dating apps for like 4 years, 4.5 years. It was just too much admin. It was too much admin. I couldn't be honest.
Too much admin, you fucking dude.
Needs a PA to go through all his matches.
Mate, I've just got like 30,000 matches, so it's actually just a bloody nightmare. Like, oh god, I just put famous comedian Ali Woods as my bio and that was just it. Like,
no one knew what it was. This is when I was shit at comedy as well. I'm not so much better now, but it's, even if you're not getting matches, you've got to swipe for everyone, you've got to look at people's profiles and stuff, and you've got to keep on it. And then when you do get a match, you've got to chat and stuff. Like, do you guys like it?
Ali, that's tough, you know. It's far tougher than going into the real world, having to speak to someone, form a connection, get their number, follow up in a way that's compelling. Oh, wait, no, it's literally one fucking swipe.
No, I love that. I love meeting someone in person, because then you know more whether you get on well, because people's online stuff is different to their real stuff.
Here's a question for you. I know I've always said this with this. Don't you think that it would save everyone a lot of time and effort if you could just have a 30-second video call with someone before going on a date?
Yeah. Oh my God, 100%!
That is true.
If you'd actually listened to the pod, you'd know that we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly, Tom, idiot.
Yeah. Ali's our close friend of the week, mate. Yeah. What were you doing?
Listen to every episode, this guy. He's just doing a dab for the listeners. I always think this, and we spoke about this on our podcast, and I always think, do that, have a video conversation, and then just be brutally honest with who you are and what you look like. And if they want to go on a date with you, right, great. And if they don't, right, then fuck them. Because you don't want to date them anyway.
Just stop talking, just ghost them then, just bit them off.
Well, if you did like a video call, right, and like you found out that you didn't like them, then don't waste their time. I think that's perfectly fine.
Agree.
If you're dating someone as well, so if you've video called, and that's one thing, but if you've been on a few dates and you're not feeling it, do you have the conversation where you're like, okay, it's not working, like, I'm gonna be really honest, or do you just ghost?
You'd send a text to be like, obviously send a message.
Only a text.
Like, yeah. Or
not
message.
In person.
Or like, not how many dates are we talking?
I don't know, a couple. Like Ali's bird.
What about six weeks? What about 6 weeks?
Hypothetically speaking, 6 weeks.
Yeah, you would like message them or you'd speak on the phone. Like, I think that's fine.
Is this something that you're deciding at the moment, Lucy? Is this
No. Okay. I've just got thoughts. I feel like that's like the barrier between like, are we actually seeing each other or are we still casually dating? Because I feel like if it's less than four dates, I think a text is fine. But I think once you hit that 6 week barrier of six dates, I think it's more awkward. But again, I don't think I would call someone.
What about you, Sarah?
Absolutely fucking not. I'm terrible at it. I just ghost. I don't mean to. I have all the intent. I talk all the talk of like, you owe it, you respect someone, you treat them with kindness. But I'm like, oh, it just kind of fizzled though, didn't it? Didn't it?
Rough.
You just lost touch.
Fizzled for me anyway.
I like to meet up with them in person normally, unless it does fizzle out. But then I got told off by this when I told Tom this, because he was like, why are you wasting their time coming to the thing?
No, you said after one... No, sorry. To clarify, you said you would be on two dates with someone and then instead of texting them to say, I don't want to go out, you said, I'd get them to get dressed up and go out on a Saturday night.
I didn't say they had to get dressed up.
Show up at a restaurant to tell them, oh, I don't want to go out with you anymore. Get fucked. Yes. No one wants that. Why would you want that?
I agree.
I would not want to waste my Saturday evening getting dressed up, going out to then be told by someone who I met up with when I sit down, by the way, we're not having dinner. I'm going to bin you off. Like, of course not. Yeah. What a horrible waste of your evening.
Ali, have you done this? Have you done this?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But question, when do you do it in the night? Okay, so let's say you're doing it over dinner, which I think is a terrible idea. I think you do a drink because then it's like they can just leave.
Between the main and dessert, I would say. That's probably...
Do you do it at the start or do you do it at the end? Because the end, I'd be like, you've just sat here and had fucking dinner with me for an hour. But the start is like, oh, okay, I'll go then.
I do it. It depends. Yeah, if we have dinner, then we'll have dinner and then I'll say it. Or if we have a drink, then I'll do it early. But I have a connection with these people. We have a very good connection.
The thing is,
I'm not on the carousel of dating apps, so I don't really get the... We've already met in person. We normally met a couple times and stuff like that. It's not like we've met once from Hinge or whatever. This is like someone... Generally, I know these people. I know them more. We have more of a connection. We maybe call and stuff like that. For instance, in the lockdown, we had a few calls. Like, that's important. We had a few calls. We chatted a few times. And we finally went on one date. And then we had a couple more calls and then went on a second date. And it was on a second date. And also part of it is because I'm thinking, am I... Because I know myself and I'm like, am I just trying to find a reason to get out of this? And then I meet up with them because I want to be like around them. Am I like, do I remember like, oh, they're really nice. Actually, I already get on with them or I'm really attracted to them, whatever. And so I give that another go as well. But then if on that date I'm sort of thinking, then I'm like, look, this was fun, but let's have this as the last one I don't meet up with someone thinking I have no interest. I'm just going to bin them off, as Tom likes to say. I meet up with them thinking, right, let's see how this tonight is, but I'm not going to have tonight and then go like, anyway, see you soon. Like, give you a ring. And then later be like, by the way, I hate you. Bye.
That is not what you said last time. You said you would meet up with them specifically to let them down gently.
No, that did not. That's not true.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. But I would have those thoughts in my head. I'd be like, do I really like this person? But I'm like, let's give it another go. One last one. And then I'm like, actually, let's just suck this off. And I'll just be like, look, this was lovely, but yeah.
I just block. I just block. Though having said that, if it's me ending it, then maybe I don't. But it depends how long I've seen them. But I need that clean cut. I can't have open doors.
Yeah, innit? I've never been able to work a friends with benefits thing. But this is an instance where they want more. They're like, I really think like I want to be exclusive and stuff like that.
That's awful. Like, you can't. You have to just be the bigger person. In which case, you know, I will like muster up the courage to send a text, maybe, or have a call.
Oh, poor guys.
It's an awkward conversation. I think it's actually really like the way you've described doing it is in just going. Like, you're not overthinking this. You just go. You have your date. You see how you're feeling. You check in with yourself, and then you're like, actually, no, it's still. Still not working. Like, yeah, it seems fair enough to me. That's quite a good way to approach it.
Well, it has its positive and negatives, but I think I am getting more on the point of some people don't want it in the person. They'd rather just people find it embarrassing
as
well.
Yeah, so I get that. Definitely.
But I had that as well with someone where we went on a few dates and then I was like, look, to be honest, I don't think I'm really feeling like this is a moving forward, like, but like I've enjoyed our time. And then she was sort of like, oh no, I just want a casual thing as well. And I was like, I don't even want the casual thing. And I don't think she liked that at all.
I agree though. Like, you've got to be like attracted. You've got to find that person interesting and want to spend time with them for me to want to sleep with them. So I think that's really important. And if you're not getting that attraction from their personality, I'm probably not going to want to have sex with them as well, casually, if they're not like sparking, you know? Yeah.
Where do you guys land on the you've matched someone? How much messaging and how much is it just straight to let's meet up?
Oh, be quick. You know, if you're going on a date, just be quick. Just don't cock around. Just like, you know, just maybe message for a day and then be like, look, do you want to go on a date? Because
Sarah.
Yeah.
I normally be like a week or
my,
a week
my
and
chat
half.
Is going to be just bland over text anyway. Or I'd rather call you.
Yeah, Tom's dyslexic as well, so it's unfair.
Exactly.
It's unfair.
It's not going to come across in the best way possible due to my dyslexia. This might just be a biased dyslexic thing, but like, come and watch my show and I do a lot of material about being dyslexic and dating, guys.
Did you have that in your dating profiles, Tom?
A dyslexic? What? You can't really... Yeah, by the way, guys, I'm dyslexic, so yeah. That's going to go down well, isn't it?
It's like those companies reaching for the diversity. They're like, well, actually, we did hire this guy who's dyslexic.
Guys, give me extra time when typing to reply messages because I'm going to need it, okay? Because of my dyslexia, okay? I'm getting my mum to proofread it as fast as she can, but, you know, it's not always going to work out.
Maybe you'd like include it as like a joke and then you're sort of like, oh, I don't know.
I'm dyslexic? What kind of angle is that?
I'm dyslexic. And he spelled dyslexic wrong. That's the joke.
I mean, like, what negative traits do you guys have? Would you put that on your profile? So I don't think you would.
Yeah, actually. So I put in there, the prompt is like, you should not go out with me if, and mine was like, if you don't like freckles, you know, like, haha, actually, I'm cute.
What? That's rubbish. I'm talking like, oh, guys, I have insomnia and I struggle sleeping at night, you know, things
I also
like that.
Have that, but yeah. You know, it's too deep, but listen, Tom, someone messaged me today with my little cute funny prompt like, hey, it's okay, we all have flaws, and I was like, honey, it's not on there because it's a flaw.
Savage.
Don't worry, I don't mind that you're ugly. Yeah, they just come in. Oh no, I'll still do you. Don't worry about that. That's fine. I don't mind. Like, that's what a good guy. What a gentleman.
I do know on Hinge, and this is again, like, this is more obviously men are super superficial, but for girls, I do know that they got rid of the ability for girls to put height limits on their account. So like to choose.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so apparently like girls can't because everyone was just putting 6 foot and over.
Yes. You have to pay for it.
What do you think of the height thing? Ali, how tall are you? Just asking for a mate. No, seriously, how tall are you?
I'm 4'6".
Brilliant. I'll update my Hinge later. No. Do you think it's like, do you get offended when girls are like choosy about
he's
height?
Tall, he's 6 foot. Yeah.
What do I get offended? No, because it's not someone I want to date.
Yeah.
If someone's like, I would only go with a guy who's 6 foot or over, I'm like, I don't want to date you then, because that's sort of, it's not an attractive personality trait to me. So I'm not bothered about that.
No, it's a solid answer.
I think it's a preference, and like, you can't get angry at people for their preferences and what they like and don't like. So
what do you think about the age thing as well? What do you think about the age thing?
I think age, height, all of it, it's just what people like. And I think you can get mad at someone for liking something that someone else doesn't like. Like, what is, you know?
Because I've been on dates as well where I've been having a good chat, maybe it's even a second date, wherever we're getting on well, and then they'll be like, wait, actually, how old are you? Because obviously we haven't met on a profile and stuff like that. So, and then I'll say my age, and then they'll be like, oh my god, you're younger than me.
What's the age difference typically? Is it like a year, or are we talking like, you know, 20 years?
No, this could only be maybe 2-3 years, something like that. So for instance, this last happened, the woman was 30, and it was just weirded out that I was younger than her. But she wasn't like, I'm going to leave right now, but just like, she took a moment to be like, can I date a guy who's younger? Like, is that okay for me personally? So where are you guys stand on that? Would you date anyone younger than you?
Well, as a woman, you're told that only older men will want to go for you. Constantly told that you need to go. And also in terms of like these
really
ambiguous maturity levels, it's like you have to go for an older guy because they're going to be the same level of maturity, which I don't like anyway, because it's kind of saying that women want to kind of conform to this like settling down thing, getting married. It's assuming that everyone wants that. So it's like, well, you need to go older because you need someone that wants the same thing as you. So for me, I prefer dating guys who are like a similar age, maybe like 2 years older, but I would not want to go like beyond like 5 years older than me. It's just not for me, because I like to be silly and I like to like,
really,
I just, you know, I don't want like, I don't want an old man.
Because they're like our fathers, and you know, if evolution has taught us anything, it's that like we shouldn't really be attracted to our family members. So like, I mean, but then you've got the sugar daddies knocking around, which is like, you know, a whole different.
Have you guys ever done that? Have you guys ever?
What?
No, I've definitely thought about it.
What, done sugar baby?
I had a Zoom date during lockdown with a woman who was 37 and she had a 7-year-old kid. But it was all right. She was a good laugh.
I think age and children, it all depends on the person, doesn't it? I think it's all of these things are just, do you like the person? Then these things that seem so important to people and, you know, all these things that society has sort of kind of socially constructed for us to make us believe that we want, don't matter when you find the person.
Cool, man.
No one was expecting that.
Yeah, well, great. There we go.
I completely agree. I agree with that entirely, yeah.
100%. Have you dated a woman with a kid, Tom? Have you dated a woman with a kid?
Yes, actually, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
cool. How old was the kid?
Young, like three. And yeah, she was nice. She was lovely.
Okay. So, but you did, it didn't affect you in the...
I didn't really, not at all. Like, I just, for me, it's always like, I'm going to go on a date with a person and am I going to get on with them? Do I like them? And then I guess... You know, you start to, when you first meet someone, that's all it should be, really. You shouldn't be, people get so bogged down, like if they hear red flags or something they don't like or something that shouldn't be okay or isn't the absolute status quo for people. And people get really bogged down into that, but actually none of that really matters. Just like the person, and then as you go along with the person, maybe you'll find out that you can handle that and okay with it, and maybe you'll find out that you can't. But you won't know until you're there, so you might as well give it a go.
This is why he's so spoken for, ladies and gentlemen, because of this mature attitude to relationships.
I feel like I have aged in this past year about a million years.
You look it, yeah, yeah. No, you do, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say anything, but yeah. Well, that's good, Tom. I didn't have a second date with this lady on the advice of a few of my friends who were like, don't mess about with yeah, a child.
So you caved to peer pressure of your mates?
No, because I was like, well, I'd be up for similar. I was like, I'll be up for meeting her. Some, also, she wanted me to go to hers during lockdown. I was like, I'm not doing that. And then, so she was like, but I was like, well, maybe I can see her again. And they were like, if you're not that invested, if you're not that interested, don't bother continuing this because there's actually a kid involved as well. But I quite like it because it's like instant family. I just get there, I have a child, I have a daughter. And then I don't have to do any of the sort of baby stuff.
Maybe she just wanted something casual though.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Exactly. She, why are we not talking about what she wants in all of this? Like, she knows what she's doing. She's a mum.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to, you know, if I wasn't that invested, I was sort of like, fine, why not? But then I was like, well, actually, to be fair, I'll probably just leave it, actually. And I told her.
Now, can we ask you guys some questions? Would you guys date with someone with a child, first of all? Also, would you care what the guy did for a living?
Here's the thing, if I meet someone in real life and we connect and I'm really into it and I find that he has a child, then it's fine. But with dating apps, you have like this weird luxury of picking and choosing. So you can choose, I guess, to not match with someone that has a kid, because most people put it like on Bumble, you can like see if they have kids or not. So there's that. But then I know a lot of that is down to like my thoughts and ideas of like what they'd be able to do and like the lifestyle I'd want to lead with them without actually knowing them. But if I spark with someone in real life and I find out they've got a kid, then I think it's fine. I don't know why there's a double standard, but there is.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know. I think it's like relationships are a part of your life. And you've got all these other things you want from your life, and you've got the lifestyle that is, you know, not only what you want to live, but also what's right for you right now, what you're capable of living. So for me right now, would I be able to date someone with a child? I wouldn't go looking for it, because I would not be able, if they wanted me to be involved with the child, would I be able to give it what it needs from a parent figure, if that's what they're expecting from me? The answer is definitely no. But who, you know, in 5 years' time, that might completely change. And that might even be an interesting alternative to me having my own child. You know, if I date someone, if I take on someone else's, and I don't know, like I'd be open to exploring it. But Tom, I don't 100% subscribe to the idea of like, it's just about the person. If you click, you'll work the rest of it out. Because I think there's also
of course, I'm saying you work until you get down the line. And I'm saying you get down the line with someone and you work out it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's not, it is the person and to some extent, but all these factors, child, what they do, where they are, all these things are, you know, are factors in that question, does it work, you know?
You don't need to, like, overthink it at the start. I think that's what you're saying, and I agree.
It's like what you were saying, Sarah, of, like, we shouldn't put so much onus on, like, when we're meeting someone on a first date or whatever. It should just be, like, let's just meet and just see if we like each other in general, like, as people, rather than there being this, like, expectation of, like, oh, my God, maybe I'll go back to theirs, or maybe we'll do this, and maybe it's going to, like, turn into this thing. It's, like, really just taking people at, like, face value and having those interactions.
Question for both the men here. Do you fuck on the first date?
Yeah, yes is the answer to that. I don't think, yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, but I generally just let them lead it, to be honest. I I often, I don't know, I've just got, as I've got older and tired, I've just been like, I sort of like the date. I love being on dates. I love being on a date. I love it. It's so much fun meeting someone for the first time, chatting about all sorts of things. And then, you know, it depends what the vibe is at the end, really. But I feel like I've finally grown out of that attitude of when I was younger, where it was like, you just want to shag as many people as possible. I'm sort of like, well, you know, if you want to, that's cool.
Conversation's also cool.
Conversation's also a bit legit, and you know, it's not my MO anymore. So I would, and I have, but it's not like I don't have any rules on it, to be honest.
I would never assume it. Never assume that that's going to happen on a first date.
What do you think of because there is a little bit of a double standard, I think, still. Mm. Generally, it's perceived there is for women and men. What do you think of women who fuck on the first date?
Nothing. I just think, I think if they nothing. Want to,
I think nothing of them.
No, I don't think any differently is what I should have said at all. It's if you want to, then you want to. I would never assume that it was going to happen on a first date, but if it happens, then great.
The thing is, bruv, it is such small dick energy if someone's like, oh, if she lets me shag on a first date, like I know she's not a good one, like they're fucking one loser. Get over yourself, yes. Man, you know what I mean? But it's so true. But there's still a lot of that. And you know what? I think a lot of it's down to sexual insecurity about men who know that they're not good lovers, and then they feel like they don't want to have a competition or like to be with someone who's been with a lot of partners, and it's all like really archaic sort of misogynistic patriarchal things about like a woman on the wedding day is supposed to be like virtuous and shit. It's like, nah, man, I want to be with someone who knows what they're doing, who's good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Less of the whole like, what do you want to do? Like
men who say they want to sleep with virgins. Are gross. Why? It's weird. Why do you want to do that? It's just gross and weird. Oh, like, that's really gross. Odd thing to do. Like, I would never.
Because I can't compare how shit you are. That's why.
Yeah, it'd be awful. Like, what? Like, it'd be the worst.
It's so gross and so possessive. It's like, you are mine. I've only touched
There's
you.
A reason that you know, like, no, just don't do that. I would say, guys, what's the one thing that if you ever been on a date with someone and they've said one thing and you've been like instantly no, instantly just like
instant
just nope, absolutely not, I'm out of here, no way, or done. They can have just said or done.
So I had a guy. He made like a kind of like, well, it was homophobic comment. He made a homophobic comment, and I was like, this is not going to work. So like, obviously, I know that's a bit different to like an ick, but like. That was one thing that happened, like, not semi-recently, but that's one thing. It was actually Tom.
I was going to say, I was like, well, you do podcasts with no professional relationships all working well, that's fine.
But no, in terms of like, I don't know, in terms of ick, Sarah, you go, I'm going to have a think of an ick.
I had the same though, someone made an ableist comment, and it was just like, it was like, you know how there was this brand of humour that was really popular about 5-10 years ago, and now is like probably still popular, but at least not with the people that I surround myself with, which is like dark humour, but just being like sick dark humour, like ableist, racist, like disgusting, just things that aren't even funny, but just being like, I went there, so it's funny. He made one of those sort of like, haha, I've got a really dark sense of humor, I'm gonna say this about this certain type of person, and I was like, this says everything I need to know about you. And I think I did go to the bathroom, just never come back, maybe.
Did you do that? Yes, sir.
It's like fucking gross. But also, but honestly, as a woman in those situations, sorry to say that sentence like every time we record, but as a woman in those situations, you're also really questioning if you're safe. Like genuinely, yes. When they say something a little bit fucked up, it's not just like this person's a weirdo. You're like, okay, so what would they do to me if I was in a vulnerable one-on-one situation with them locked in their house? Like, you're genuinely thinking that, and I'm not exaggerating. So it's stuff like that. You're like, we don't align. This is a bit weird. Like, just no. I don't know about ick, though. Ick's a very specific thing. Ick's like, bleh.
It's more, the ick mostly happens on, like, the dating apps. That's when it happens. I wouldn't normally get to a date where I'm like, oh, I've got the ick about something. It's normally when we're, like, chatting. To be honest, I get a lot of icks around, like, it sounds actually quite bad, but like clothing, and like if they fucking love going to Clapham all the time, and like they
wait,
love
what, you
like-
don't like that? Sorry?
No.
I think I misheard you.
Your entire game plan is destroyed here. What?
Clapham. I hate that shit.
Yeah. You don't like going to Clapham? Bloody hell! What kind of
You're not going to the right places. You're not going to.
So before we go, because I know we've been talking for so long, I want to know, what is your worst dating story?
Lucy, you know. So I should have, the warning signals were there, because I when I was there, because I ended up meeting her in Clapham Grand, in the club there, and then this was just when I was out of uni. And so we organised to go on a date. I was like, cool. She was Australian. So we're chatting. And then we get Emma was having a bottle of wine. And then she's like, I don't know what we were talking about. But then she's like, yeah, that's the thing. That's why I don't like Koreans. I mean, Koreans are all so rude. And I was like, you can't say that. That's racist. And she's like, oh my God, that's not racist. Like, what are you talking about? And then we had this argument about whether that was racist or not. And then I was like, look, okay, agree to disagree. I should caveat this with, I was very attracted to her. So I was like, at that point, I thought you should probably leave this and be like, that's, you know, that's not on, let's leave it. But instead I was like, let's agree to disagree. And we can have another drink. And she was like, yeah, cool. So we're having another bottle. And then she's been like slapping me on the face when I've said certain things. But obviously as she's drinking, like the slaps are getting like increasingly hard. And I think she thinks it's sort of cute, but it's now just like starting to say, so I sort of catch her hand and be like, can you stop slapping me? And she's like, oh my God, you're so sensitive. Like, I mean, are you gay? Are you gay? Is that what?
And, God.
And then and at that point I should have left. But I didn't. And then, so I was like, right, well, look, let's, this is not working. And then she went, okay. She was like, got her stuff and then left. And I was like, cool. So I messaged my friends and was like, are you out? Because I knew they were sort of out. So they were like, yeah, I'm in Leicester Square. I was like, cool, I'm going to come join you. Then she comes back with another bottle of wine. So at this point, I'm like, I'm not sure what's going on. But, you know, what should have done? I should have said, look, you know, I don't agree with what you said. But instead, what we did was got off in the booth. So we were getting off having this. And then I was like, well, look, my mates in Leicester Square, should we go join them? Because I was also thinking as well, maybe we get in a group environment, this will be sort of less intense. Like, I could ask my friends, is she like the worst person ever? Or am I imagining it? And then, we go to Leicester Square and we've had this another bottle of wine. So 1.5 bottles of wine in each. And, on the way there in the tube, she's like pulling me into the side and like getting off quite vigorously. We go onto the tube carriage. And I'm standing and she's sitting and she just reaches out and like grabs my cock in the jeans. And this is like 9 PM. I'm like, I'm sure I think there are kids on this carriage. Like, let's maybe not do that. And then she says to me really loudly, she's like, I can't believe you didn't ravage my tits. I would have let you if you just asked. So I was like, all right. So then I said to her, look, I mean, do you want to, maybe we could just go back to mine? That's when you think, she was like, yeah, if you want to go back to yours. And I was like, okay, cool. Cause we're not far from mine. So we were at my tube stop, going up the escalator. And then I was walking to the barriers and I realized like, where's she? Cause you know, you feel someone near you. And then I looked around and she was like sitting at one of those chairs, like those little bench things at the tube. And I went up to her like, are you okay? Cause she had her head in her hands. And then she sprung up. She was like, can you fuck off? Can you fuck off right now? And I was like, funny. I was like, what are you talking about? Have I done something? And then she started like laughing and then got up, but not like laughing is like, ha, got you. It was more just like maniacal, like, ah, ha, 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 laughing. And then she went through the tube stop. And at this point, like, I'm following through the tube stop. I'm like, where are you going? Like, are you all right? Do you want to go home? And then she's going, where are you taking me? And I'm like, fucking, what the hell is going on now? And then she goes up to this group of lads and she's like, help, this guy's trying to take me somewhere. And I'm like, whoa. I'm not doing that. Like, that's not, and luckily they were like sober and they looked, and she was like laughing while she was saying it. And like, and they looked at me going like, I don't know what's happening here. God. And they were like, I don't think that's what's happening. And then they walked off. And then I was like to her, like, what did you want to do? Like, what's happening? Are you like, just go back to the station. Are you okay to get home? And then she ran across the road. And that was the last time I saw her.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh my God.
What a woman!
Yeah.
What a woman!
But that's who I'm dating now. So that's not.
Really well.
Do you know what, Ali? You need to find her so we can get her perspective.
This is what I think as well.
On the entire.
So this is where she says, "Yeah, I was with this really weird guy who was trying to take me home when I was drunk," and I'm like, "Oh man, it couldn't be that." But yeah, I mean, not gonna lie, I should have had moments in that. I should have left in that, and I should have also said, "Right, you just sort yourself out." It was just really weird. But yeah, it was quite a funny story.
That is chaotic. I don't know what to think. I've been on a roller coaster.
Did you have like any contact? None at all?
No, well, I messaged her being like, "Did you get home okay?" And that was it. And didn't message me back.
So we actually, sorry, PSA, we don't know if she's home okay still.
I don't know, but I couldn't.
Phone a friend. Guys, it's time for this week's phone a friend.
But this is what was going through my head at the time. Yeah, I was like, do I run after her? Because is it irresponsible? But then I was like, I'm not gonna chase like a woman through the streets. Like,
I mean,
that I've only just really met that night. No, so I was like, right, fuck it.
I feel like we need a counselor in this conversation to properly unpick that one. There's a lot going on there.
My biggest part, my favorite part, was the ravage your tits part. I thought that was. I've never heard anyone say that since in my life. But it was in her Australia. An accent was so funny. Ravage.
Wow. Thank you. That's all we have time for, I think. Thank you very, very much to our guests this week, Ali and Tom. You can. Do you know what? I'm going to hand over to both of you to do your little plugs because you're so good at them. So tell our listeners where they can follow you and DM you from.
Go on, Tom.
Well, you can follow our podcast at All I Do Is Fail. So just search All I Do Is Fail. We're available at all good podcasting, what did you call it, platforms? Yeah, we're Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Acast. It's Acast I always forget. But yeah, please. And you can also follow me at Tom Elwes on Instagram.
And YouTube as well. You can watch us on YouTube, All I Do Is Fail. And Aidiff Pod on social media, AIDIFPOD. And we have weekly episodes and we're just chatting about the week and our weeks, and we have regular segments where we get listeners in to contribute their fails on a particular topic.
We'll get Lucy and Sarah to come on our podcast next and we'll do, this is, really? This is, yeah. Yeah.
Shut up, Ali. Yeah. Yes, you will.
He's so happy. He'd be so excited if you came down to our studio.
And then you can catch me at Ali Woods Gigs on any social media. I do sketches, so come join. And come down and see us as well. We have a regular Tuesday night comedy night.
Vauxhall Comedy.
And stand-up comedy where we get guests down at Vauxhall Comedy Club every Tuesday, Aidiff Tuesdays at Vauxhall Comedy Club. So come down to that. But it's been a pleasure to come on to this. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it, Sarah and Lucy.
No problem. Sorry, there's so many things to follow you in. Approach you on there. We're going to come to your gig as well. Okay.
Well, yeah, this I've heard this before, Sarah. Yeah, this is all the chat. Oh, so many things you on. Yeah, I've never come to any of them.
Don't go to one of his gigs. You don't want to be one of the girls who goes to his gigs. We've been through
just
this
one of Ali's girls. Yeah, yeah. One of his 3 month girls.
Yeah.
I just want to disappoint as many women as possible. Yeah. That's my aim.
You can follow our podcast if you can remember that we're actually on the Close Friends Pod and not All I Do Is Fail at Close Friends the Podcast on Instagram. Please follow us. As we said before, we need your help. You can like and subscribe Apple Podcasts, Spotify, drop us a follow. Please leave us a 5-star review and you can follow us on our personal accounts at Lucy Mountain and at sarahb.london. That is it from us. Thank you very much. Have a lovely week, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.